Welcome to Body Matters Podcast, where we bring to you raw and inspiring content on all things to do with body positivity and eating disorder recovery. Welcome back to the Understanding Body Matters Podcast. Now, we are so excited for this episode because it is the 1 year anniversary of the Understanding Body Matters Podcast. So that does mean season one is coming to a close, and we will be having a quick little 2.5 week break. We'll be bringing in the new year with season two, new and amazing guests, and some really, really exciting and informative topics that we haven't been speaking about previously. So what an amazing year it has been with so many amazing guests that we've spoken to. I have learned so much throughout this whole journey and never really began to understand the impact some of our podcasts had on many individuals listening, not only in Australia, but globally. So we are, of course, extremely grateful for all of you that are listening. Now, for this episode, we thought it'd be really great to bring in our 5 top highlights of our season. Now, it was really hard to bring these all down. I have 100 more different highlights, but these are ones that I found that were really informative and educational, but also really hit a spot where many other people could also relate to. Like, our recovery talks always have such an amazing response, and we are so glad to hear that we're able to bring our recovery talks to the podcast. Our ultimate goal was for those who were struggling, those who were looking after someone struggling with eating disorder, to better understand what an eating disorder is, what types of eating disorders there are, how you can help support a loved one, but also understand that recovery is possible, which is very known from all the amazing recovery champions that we do bring on. So we really hope that you were able to learn something, feel inspired, or even share this to someone who you know might be struggling. We really, really have loved the impact that we have had and the reviews that we receive. It's always so amazing and rewarding to hear. So we can't wait to bring more amazing guests on in season two. Now, to jump on in, I thought we'd bring the first highlight. Now, this highlight is our episode on exercise and eating disorders with exercise physiologist Ellen. And we absolutely loved bringing her on this episode because it really dives deep into what that relationship truly looks like. So have a little listen.
I think that just to start off with, often if you're still in recovery for an eating disorder, it is best to seek out a professional who can provide some support for you while you start to change and modify your routines. Often it can be very overwhelming and very emotionally taxing to do it by yourself. But I am going to give just a couple of guidelines that I think are a good place to start, just if people want to start experimenting with it themselves. So one of the biggest things is that a dysfunctional relationship with exercise is often characterized by rigid inflexibility, punitive attitudes, so punishment, the feeling of I've got to punish my body, and guilt. So in nature, what we want to do is we want to try and reverse those as much as we can. So to rebuild your relationship with exercise, you really do need to become a little bit more flexible with your exercise routine, which addresses the inflexibility. You've got to find movement you love and enjoy, which addresses sort of that notion of punishing yourself and only doing exercise as a way for a means to an end. And by doing this, you start to address the mechanisms that are underpinning the reasons why we exercise in a certain way. And this can look like various things. What I would suggest people do to start off with is look at the kind of movement they're doing currently. And I'm just going to pull out an example out of the ether. But let's say you're a runner, and the thing that you're really attached to is running, and you run 5 days a week, 2 hours each time, whatever it is. What I would encourage you to do to start off with is pull back from your running as much as you feel comfortable doing and start exploring other movement options. So start thinking about what are some other things that I actually am curious about or think that I might enjoy. That could be anything from, you know, walking or going to the gym, lifting some weights, doing some yoga, doing some Pilates, learning to exercise at home, anything that isn't the thing that you're doing a lot of currently.
I truly learned a lot from this episode, understanding that relationship between eating disorders and exercise, because there is that fine line, and having that balance is where it is really crucial to ensure that you are able to recover from your eating disorder. So we absolutely love speaking with her. However, this does bring me to my second highlight, which was with Sophie Smith on all things to do with orthorexia. I included this as a highlight because I feel like orthorexia, as you will hear in this little snippet, is not an eating disorder. That is very well known, and people are quite unsure to the extent of what their orthorexia may be. So I included this because it was something I definitely learned, and if it helps someone understand why a sibling, a loved one might be acting some way, this may be the first steps that they can take in encouraging that support or even that conversation. So have a little listen.
The term orthorexia nervosa was actually coined in the late 90s by an American doctor. And essentially it means, it's kind of derived from Greek, and it means correct diet. So it's basically an obsession with healthy eating or clean eating. And I guess from the outside, that doesn't really seem like a problem, I guess, you know, like we're all very much like, you know, wanting to be healthy, I guess. And, you know, there's people probably think there's nothing wrong with wanting to eat healthy, but orthorexia really is an eating disorder in the sense that it's where people take that kind of concept really far. And, you know, like it starts to impact their life in a way that is not allowing them to function normally. So they might, you know, have cut out entire food groups, or they might be really socially isolated. But it is very easy to go unnoticed, I guess.
We always love the initiative Sophie does in all of her work to bring more awareness to eating disorder recovery through all of her work at Butterfly, but also how easy she is to speak about these topics and really put a front foot forward to bring that message out about how eating disorders need to be really more addressed properly and more spoken about. So we love always speaking with Sophie. Now this brings me to my next highlight, which we have with Millie Thomas, who is an eating disorder recovery coach. She's always really busy, so we're so grateful we were able to fit her in with all the amazing work she is doing surrounding eating disorder awareness and support. But we had her on regarding the impact of social media. Now she dives in deep into a really interesting way of looking at your recovery and avoiding any focus social media may play on that, because it really does truly have a huge impact in eating disorder and body image problems. So have a little quick listen.
One of the things I think that's super important when it comes to that, and I say this to my clients all the time, is you've got to stay in your lane. You've got to stay in your lane with the hands on the steering wheel, focused on your destination. Don't look at the other cars around you and what they look like and what they're doing. This is about you and your recovery. And I think that's one of the most important things, is to not look to others and think, well, why, you know, are they recovering faster than me? Why do they have a feeding tube? Why, you know, and why am I in a larger body and they're not in a larger body? All of these things that go on, and the eating disorder absolutely plays on that. And it's absolutely futile, because even if we all ate the same and we did the same amount of activity, we would all still look very, very different. And that's the beauty of being human. And so I think that is definitely one of the things that impacts on body image hugely.
Now, if you haven't listened to that episode with Millie, we really, really suggest you do go ahead and listen to that, because it dives in deep about how harsh and impactful social media truly is, especially nowadays where many adolescents and adults are always on their phone, and that will have an impact on them one way or another, especially someone suffering from an eating disorder. So understanding how you can have a healthy relationship with social media while going through eating disorder recovery is really, really important to learn, not only for yourself, but for a loved one who may be suffering as well. Now, our next highlight is with a nutritionist that was actually on Channel 7's nutritionist called Lindy Cohen. And we love speaking with her always. She's always so nice to speak with. She's really gets really personal about how she's used her career through her recovery from binge eating disorder. Now, this episode and little snippet really talks about how nutritionists and dietitians, especially Lindy going through something herself, how it can assist in ED recovery. So have a little listen, and we'd love to know what you think.
Typical way that we expect to kind of help us feel a sense of calm around food. When food has become deeply emotional and or it's become very clinical, it's become numbers and rules, I think a dietitian who specializes in eating disorders can help you pull that apart and give you a sense of calm around food. And I think that's pretty essential. What I do specifically with binge eating is I'm looking at our relationship with food. So why we restrict and how our attempt to control our weight actually drives us to binge, how the guilt we have when we do binge keeps us stuck in that binge eating cycle. And you know, a lot of the work we do is around the triggers that trigger us to binge eat. And so a lot of the time a dietitian's work is about food, but really it's not about the food as well. I think having a dietitian to talk through food with you, it can be a really calming thing to do. It can feel like a really good support to have someone who can be, you know, a bit more impartial and you know, non-judgmental, can give you ideas on ways to tackle things. I think there used to be a point where I thought maybe I shouldn't be a dietitian because of my history with an eating disorder, but I actually think because of my history, I'm exactly who needs to be helping people specifically with something like binge eating disorder.
As you can probably hear by Lindy's tone of voice, she is always so lovely and really eases individuals into that conversation that can be really hard for others to speak about or address. We also really do recommend looking at her Instagram, which we will link in the show notes. Her name is Lindy Cohen, and she really empowers positive body image, not being scared to live in your own skin, but she always shares such empowering and really insightful but truthful messages through all of her social media. So we really recommend you do look at that as well. Now that brings us to our final highlight, which what better way to end this season, but also our year, in bringing back our very first episode, which it has got to be one of my top episodes, which is Surviving Christmas with an Eating Disorder with Body Matters director and psychologist Sarah McMahon. Now, I really loved this episode because Christmas is such a fun and exciting time of year for many, but for those struggling with an eating disorder or mental illness or someone who's going through grief or many other factors, it can be a really, really hard time of year for others. And I think that's really important for others to know. And I think this is a really nice way to end this episode and season, because many people don't understand how they can be that voice for someone struggling. So have a little listen to what Sarah has to say about how you may be able to help someone who's struggling with an eating disorder or even one that's struggling with mental health.
Well, there's actually a lot of reasons why people with an eating disorder find Christmas particularly stressful. And when we think about it, there's so many things we can talk about, but I'd like to focus on the five Fs: food, family, friends, fatness, and finishes. So the first one is food. Typically, Christmas can throw the spanner in the works when it comes to food. So people's food routine might be thrown out. There's also lots of additional challenges around food typically for people who have eating disorders. So whether it's Christmas dinner or social events, finger food, you know, which might cause confusion around plating up how much food, those sorts of questions. Of course, there's changes with brands that might be available and food shortages potentially as well. The second F is family. So we think of family typically ideally as being idyllic and happy and a source of support for people, but not everyone has that privilege. And even if people do have that privilege, for someone that's not well with an eating disorder, family dynamics and family tension can be very stressful and triggering potentially for people. So that's food and family. The third one is friends. So friends, again, a little bit like family. It can be ideally we choose our friends, but circumstances with friends might also be triggering around Christmas time. So it might be that someone's not invited to something that's upsetting, or people behave differently, or friends have other commitments. They might not be quite as available as normal because it's such a different time of year. The fourth thing is fatness. And by that I mean, I think with Christmas occurring in summer in Australia, it happens at a time when there's a lot more revelation of skin, I guess, and our body shapes. If our body shapes have changed over the course of the year, then suddenly it's around Christmas time that can become a lot more obvious for someone. So whether someone has put on weight or reduced weight as a result of their eating disorder, then that can be something that family and friends can be aware of, and also the person with the eating disorder can be aware of.
We hope that that gives you a bit of insight on how someone with an eating disorder may find it challenging and struggle throughout this Christmas season. There are many changes in routine, many changes in your friend group who may be available, and especially your treatment team. So it is really important to be that active support for someone during this time where many of their treatment teams are not readily available. And we understand and appreciate and send all of our love to everyone during this time of year. We are thinking of you, and you are strong, and you are able to make it through this. So what better way to end the season? We really enjoyed having all of these amazing guests on, not only these top five highlights, but every single guest we've had on this season have had the biggest impact on not only Body Matters, but our listeners and viewers internationally as well. So we can't wait to bring back season two, bigger and better than ever. More guests, more individuals through the Body Matters team. We'd love to know if there are any topics or guests that you would love involved in season two. We bring back some new little entryways, snippets, and exciting topics, and we will see you in season two. Have a lovely Christmas season, and we hope that you are looking after and loving all of your loved ones. Be there for that support. And we do have one more episode in 2 weeks, which will end the season on our last recovery talk of 2021, which is the best way, I think, to end the season. So we'll see you in 2 weeks, and then from there, we'll see you in season two.